Word of God. Amen. Praise God. So if you can turn with me, please, to 1 Kings. I asked my brother Lucas what I should share about, and he told me to share whatever God has put in my heart. But he told me that you had a theme of doing exploits for God. So apparently, God had put something like that, similar to that. So I would like to share from the 1 Kings, from 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, I'm going to read from verse 20. So if you can follow with me, it's a little bit long of a passage, but it's wonderful. You will be blessed as I read. Just the reading of the scripture is powerful. So 1 Kings chapter 18 from verse 20. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord or if Yahweh is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood. But put no fire under it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God." So all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God and put on fire under it." So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning till evening, or till noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, no one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is God. He is a God. And either he is meditating, or he is busy, or on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened." So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near me." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. Then he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood and said, "Fill 4 water pots with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice on the wood." Then he said, "Do it a second time," and they did it a second time, and he said, "Do it a third time," and they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things to your word, or at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that you are the Lord God, that you have turned their hearts back to you again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust. And it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. God bless his word. I forgot, by the way, to introduce my brother. He's in KCFA DC chapter. He's one of the leaders there, but also he's an elder in our church. And there's Brother Ngigi, whom I came with. Just wave, Brother Ngigi. And amen. And I should have actually, you know, recognized my friend, man of God, Pastor Katambia, and my I call him son in the ministry, Pastor Magwa, right there. God bless you very much. And all the other pastors who are here as we serve God in the vineyard together. Praise the name of the living God. I would like to share with us about how to glorify God. How to glorify God. Now, that is a term that we use everywhere, and we even in our prayers, every time we use that term, you know, God be glorified, you know, we want to glorify God, or what, we use that term so much. But I'm going to, by the help of God, help us today, and I believe we are going to see this in a totally different, awesome way from the scripture, from the word of God. So let me pray and ask the Lord to bless this word. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, O God, for this gathering. This is the day that you have made. This is the fellowship that you have made. This is the hour that you have made. We ask that you release your spirit. We ask that, God, you will use me. I just present myself to you as an instrument that you will use for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God, people say, amen. Amen. Now, the word, let me just begin by saying, you know, defining a little bit the word glory, because it's a common word that we use. And sometimes, you know, the other day I asked my daughter, I have a 13-year-old, I asked her, what does glorify mean? And she thought for a moment and she said, you know what? I really don't know. I've used it so much, but I really don't know. But I think it has to do with lights. Brilliant lights. Now, I remember one time reading a story about a child who asked a dad, really, what those people, drawings of people in the church, like what you're seeing there, what are they? And the dad said they are saints. And then as they were coming to church, she asked the dad, and dad, what are saints? And the father said, you know, thought for a minute, he said, you know what? We will ask the pastor when we get there. So they went to church. And then it so happened that day there was light that was coming through the windows, the glass windows, you know, the painted glass window. And the child sitting next to dad looked at the dad and said, Dad, you don't have to ask the pastor. I actually know who are the saints. They are people who have light rays coming through them. She got the revelation. Saints are people who have the light of God shining through them. And did you know that is what it means to glorify God? As a matter of fact, the word glory, the English word glory, has the same root with the word glow. Glow. So when we glorify God, we actually allow God to glow in us, through us. God is seen. God is magnified. Our lives magnify God. That's what it means. Now, Elijah did something here. Actually, Elijah glorified God. Now, if you look at the story, we're not going to, it's a long story, so we know, and I'm sure you know it. God bless you as we look into it, because it's powerful. There was a context, as you know the story very, very well. There was a context. There was the prophets of Baal, And there was Elijah on the other side. The prophets of Baal had obviously mobilized, you know, through Jezebel, mobilized the whole, you know, nation to really turn against the living God. And so, you know, Elijah called for a meeting, and there was a meeting. And Elijah basically said, you know, I'm going to give you an opportunity to prove that your God, whether your God is a living God. So, you know the story, they went fast. And the Bible says they cried, they did all kinds of things. They even prophesied. Think about it. Because there can be prophecies that are not of God. They prophesied. They were very dynamic in their, they jumped up and down, they cut themselves, they called, they shouted. But you know what? The Bible says there was not a single word from God. No answer at all. And then, when they were totally defeated, Elijah now rises up. And Elijah, he tells them, okay, he repaired the altar and he put the sacrifice there, he put water around it. And then Elijah called on the name of Yahweh. A very simple prayer. He called on the name of Yahweh. Listen to this prayer here. His prayer. He says, "Hear me, O Lord. Hear me. That these people may know that you are the Lord God. And that you have turned their hearts back to you. Then the fire of God fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust. And it licked up the water that was in the trench." Now, let me ask you this. Don't answer me, but let me ask you this. What is this that made these people change? Because these people, there was a dynamic change. Imagine earlier, Elijah had preached to them. He had preached and did altar call. He had pleaded with them. Why are you wavering between two opinions? You profess that Yahweh is God. Choose between. If God is God, if Yahweh is Yahweh, serve him. And you know what the Bible says? They did not respond. They were just looking at him like this. He did an altar call, nobody came forward. Preaching, nobody came forward. But then, the dynamics changed. He prays, God comes down, and everybody on the floor and worships. Look at that transition. Powerful preaching, nobody responds. Something happens, everybody on the floor and worship God. Yahweh is God. What has happened? Because these people, first, they saw this Baal prophet, they could not cause fire to come down. They witnessed that. So they knew that God, this is God who had done that. But more importantly, they knew this is not it was not a unique fire. It was not a common fire. It was the fire of God. Do you know what the Bible says? It says the fire licked the water. Now, we use water to extinguish fire. That's what water department people do, right? You use water, you know, to put out fire. Well, it's the other way now. It is the fire licking the water. Going after the water and licking the water. And the people are witnessing this. And they, you know, they reach a point, they say, Yahweh, he is God. He is God. You know, God came through. Hallelujah. God was magnified. They saw God. And they fell down and worshipped. And I believe in this age, we need God even more than the preachings. We need God to be magnified. I'm telling you, when people see God, they will bow down and they will worship God. We are in a land, this land of America, where the church has been put on the corner. There are powerful forces of homosexuals, of all kinds of things. And the church is like it is intimidated. I am telling you, when God arises, I'm telling you the forces of darkness will be put down. People will fall down and declare that what Jesus is Lord. It is not more preaching. Remember when Paul said that I did not come to you in eloquence of word, but I wanted to come with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So that you don't put your faith in man, but you put your faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. Praise the name of the living God. Let me tell you something interesting. You know, when these people left there, nobody left there saying, Elijah is a great man. Elijah, hey, did you see that guy? He caused fire to come down from heaven. Nobody thought of that. Everybody thought of God. When God is magnified, when the glory of God is somewhere, there is no creature that will be seen.
Only God will be magnified. His glory will overwhelm everything. If people leave a fellowship in our church meetings, if they leave friends, if they leave, and know that they can see, and know that they can say, did you see how the pastor preached? I have failed. If they leave the church fellowship and know that they can remember the degrees, we have failed. If they leave a church fellowship and know that they can see, remember, is the wonderful giftedness of the worship team, we have failed. If they live there and know that they can remember is how dressed you are, nicely dressed you are, we have failed. But if they leave that place and all that they can see is God, is Jesus, is the power and the presence of the Lord. Because when the Lord comes down, I am telling you, everybody will be on the floor. They will be crying. Ah. And friends, that's what we need. And friends, that is what is called revival. And friends, that is what is the glory of the Lord. And to glorify the Lord. Now, I want to look at briefly things to help us. Because the question is, can that happen to us? Can that happen to us? I grieve for my country, Kenya. They say Kenya is 80% Christians, right? How many percentage Muslims? About 15% Muslims, eh? But do you know Muslims are more powerful than the 80% Kenyan Christians? Ah, they say something and everybody, people follow, are afraid of, but they are not afraid of the Christians. And yet we are the majority. Do you know that the early church was, they were small in percentage, but they were very powerful? Wow, because the power of God was moving in them. So it is not just the numbers that matter. So I want to look at things that will help us that Elijah did. I believe that they can cause us to really glorify God and do exploits for God. Hallelujah. I want to remind you that Elijah was one man. He even told them that you had 450 men, prophets, and I am alone. I am alone. But one man caused the glory of God to sweep through the land. One man versus 440. So it doesn't matter the number. Hallelujah. You know, the first thing that I feel is very important is the desire that Elijah had. Look at the prayer that he prayed there in verse 27. He had a desire that ought to be the one to consume each child of God. Look at how he prayed. He prayed, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that you, Lord, are the Lord." He wasn't concerned about himself. And that you have turned their hearts back to you. And friends, that ought to be our desire. That people will be turned back to the Lord. People will be focused. People's hearts will be focused to Jesus Christ. Remember when John the Baptist was preaching? And Jesus came into the picture. And then people came, you know, to make him envious. And they told him, you know what? Everybody's leaving and he's going to that new guy, Jesus. Everybody, including your followers. Everybody's leaving and going. I'm a pastor. I don't know, you know, and there are a number of pastors here. You know how it feels when people leave you and go to another person, right? So that's how it was with John the Baptist. Everybody was leaving. And now you have to know that at that time, you know, Jesus was not necessarily known as the Messiah. So he's like another preacher. So everybody's leaving and he's going to Jesus. And people come and stand and say to him, everybody's going. And you know what John said? He said, a man cannot receive what comes from, what is given from above. And then he says this. He says that the bride belongs to the bridegroom. And he said that I am the friend of the bridegroom. I am not the bridegroom. I am the best man. And so he says, it's okay, they are going. It is the bride going to the bridegroom. It's okay. He says, actually, that is my joy. I'm happy. Because it's fulfilled. Because I'm just a best man. They should not be coming to me anyway.
And then he says this, you know, because, you know, can you imagine, you know, here, you know, this is a wedding, right? You know, here is a bridegroom and here is a best man. And the bride is coming, right? Coming, you know. And then the best man is standing there. And the best man is actually having his eye on the bride. You know? Can you imagine such a scenario? He's standing next to the bride, you know, to the bridegroom. But actually he's focused. He has his own interest. Come over here. That kind of a thing. So basically that's what he was saying. He was saying, he should not be coming to me. He needs to be going to the bridegroom, Jesus. And he says, my joy is complete. That's what, by the way, Elijah was feeling. He was like, I want them to be turned to the Lord God. I want their hearts to be turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where they belong. Not to me, but to the Lord. I know sometimes I'm preaching to myself. Because I ask myself those questions. Do you want people to go to the Lord? Because when they go to the Lord, that's where they belong. Hallelujah. That's where they belong. This is how Elijah was. No wonder God honored his prayers. Had magnified, glorified the Lord. But I'm going to go to the next one, which is very important. He says that he repaired the altar. The altar of the Lord that was broken. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of details about the altar of the Lord, but I will just mention two things about the altar. The first one is the altar was a place for burnt offerings, where they would offer burnt offerings. But number two, more than the place for burnt offering, the altar was God's heaven's connection with the earth, or on the earth. Remember, whenever Abraham went, he built an altar. God had given him the land. Notice, God had given him the land. But whenever Abraham went, he would build an altar. Compare Abraham with Lot. Lot never built any altar. You know what happened to Lot? Lot lost everything. He remained in a cave, by the way, with his two daughters. But Abraham, who actually built the altars everywhere, he ended up possessing all that land. Praise the name of the living God. It is God's connection on the earth. And then, something very interesting, let me share very briefly. You remember when God told Abraham to go and offer his son as a sacrifice, which he helped him not to anyway, but he went on a place, specific place. That place, we read, I'm not going to go there, but we read in 2 Chronicles 3:1, that place is actually with the same place that the temple was built. The place where he offered his son, that Mount Moriah, is the same place that the temple was built. It is the same place that Jesus Christ was crucified. So I want you to see the power of the altar. It is not a mistake when you build altars, praise the name of the living God. It is God's connection, or heaven's connection to the earth. Now, the question is, do we build altars today? We normally don't in the way they did in the Old Testament, but the principle is the same. Because where God's people meet is actually an altar. Hallelujah. God's people meet is actually an altar. Because that's where the power of God comes down. Because that's what Jesus said, that where two or three gather in my name, I am right there in their midst. And that's why you find that when someone is backsliding, they neglect the altar. They neglect church. They neglect places of meeting. The altar is broken. The first thing he did was he repaired the altar. The second thing that is very important is he put a sacrifice on the altar. Praise the name of the living God. Not just an empty, because the fire of God is not going to come on an empty altar. There has to be sacrifice on that altar. Now, friends, God never moved, and this principle is very important. God never manifested himself without a sacrifice. God used a sacrifice. And by the way, it's not even God, even demons do that. Witch doctors, they do that. Some of you might have gone to witch doctors, you know, before you got saved, or even sometimes after. And you know very well that they require a sacrifice to talk to Satan, to talk to those powers. Now, we know Satan counterfeits God. I want you to see that sacrifice is important. God uses sacrifice. There are a number of times, we're not going to go there, but there are a number of times that an angel will go through the smoke of the sacrifice and ascend to heaven. Actually, when the smoke goes, it's an indication that sacrifice has been accepted. When God, when Samuel was anointed king, a sacrifice had to be made. David, a sacrifice had to be made. I mean, we can go through that, but sacrifice has to be there. Now, today, now, let's come to now. The Bible says that, and I would like to go there, in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, I plead with you, brethren, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Now, today our sacrifices that are our bodies. The Bible says it's actually a spiritual sacrifice, a reasonable sacrifice. If you put that sacrifice on the altar, guess what? The fire of God will come down and burn that sacrifice, your body. Now, you get it in a minute, what I'm trying to say. Our bodies are the sacrifices today. God is going to be glorified. God is going to be seen, friends, when we yield our bodies to Him. When our bodies are given as a sacrifice. Now, do you remember the day of Pentecost? The Bible says that they were worshiping, they were praying, they were on the upper room, they were praying, and the Holy Ghost came down in forms of what? Tongues of fire. And He rested on each one of them. And what happened? They started manifesting the presence, the glory of the Lord. So much that those people who were there, they knew this is not an ordinary thing. They started speaking in tongues they were speaking in clear tongues. So you find here is a Kikuyu speaking Kikamba, and they did not know Kikamba at all. You find here a Luya speaking a Japanese, and they did not know Japanese at all. And there are Japanese there, and they look and they say, this must be God. The Holy Spirit manifested Himself through the sacrifice. Friends, the Holy Spirit will do the same today through us. Now, let me say that we need to be careful of strange fire. We need to be careful of strange fire that we manufacture or can be manufactured by the flesh. That is not of the Holy Spirit, and that does not glorify God at all. Let me say this, when the fire of God is upon you, when you are yielded to the Holy Spirit, when the fire of God is upon you, you don't need to defend yourself. You don't need to shout. You don't need to jump up and down. You can even be quiet and God will be glorified and people will see, here is God. It's not even in what you do. It is not in doing more for God. It is allowing the Holy Spirit to do His work in us. You will not feel guilty if you have not done something, because as long as the Holy Spirit is, you are yielded to the Holy Ghost, I am telling you, He will move, He will do His own things in you. And those are the only things that are acceptable to God. And they meet the standard of God's holiness. Praise the name of the living God. You know, someone said this. He said that, beware of blowing your own trumpet. If you blow your own trumpet, he says that it will only serve to irritate your neighbors and those here, you. If you blow God's trumpet, though, it will raise up the dead. That's a huge difference. Same trumpet, but it is of God, it will raise the dead. If it's yours, it will just irritate those who are listening to you.
When the Spirit of God is upon you, He can lead you to shout, but it will glorify God. If you shout when He's not there, you irritate people and they run away.
Praise the name of the living God.
So, God is glorified today when the fire of the Holy Ghost is upon you.
You know, the Bible says that God is a consuming fire. And He makes His messengers flames of fire.
When that fire is upon you, I am telling you, even demons will not be able to stand before you. Because there is a flame, is a fire that intimidates, that will make any enemy not be able to stand before you.
Friends, we can have that fire today. You know, I don't believe that. I know we're seeing these are the days of Elijah and all that, and I believe so. But I don't believe that it is in calling fire to come down again that God is going to be glorified. I believe it is by allowing the Holy Spirit to burn our sacrifices of our lives. As He burns things that don't please Him. As He burns the chains that are binding us. Because this fire burns, but it does not consume. The Holy Spirit burns, but doesn't consume. He only destroys the chains that are binding us and keeping us from serving God and walking freely. As we allow that, as we yield ourselves to Him, the Lord Jesus will be glorified. God will look, and God will see a church that honors Him. And so it is not by more doing, it is by yielding. And it is possible, even today in this age, it is by allowing the Holy Spirit to move and work in us. Let me read one more verse, and I'll pray. I'll pray with you. I'll pray with us. Hallelujah. Let me read one more verse, and this is in the book of Hebrews. If you can go there, the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 14. I'll finish with this verse. You know, it's really not by preaching a lot that matters. I believe the message has come through. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Let us understand His heart here. The Lord is enabling me to go through. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 says this. Let me read verse 13, get the context. It says this. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. Listen to verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ. Now listen to the next part, which is what I wanted to point out. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish, without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The only thing I wanted to point out in that verse is this. He says the Lord Jesus Christ offered Himself to God through the Holy Spirit. He yielded Himself to God by the Spirit of God. The best sacrifice has to be done through the Holy Spirit. So what the Lord Jesus did, if the Lord Jesus did that, what about you and me? We can only offer ourselves to God through the Holy Spirit. We were watching the other day a movie, and you know, a very powerful movie. On YouTube, very powerful, about a Ugandan pastor. I was actually sent by one of the pastors here. He's here in the house, John Mulinde. And he talks about how when he met the Lord, when he saw a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was just repentant and repentant and repentant. I mean, the Lord was showing him how sinful he was, and he was repentant and all that. And so as we were talking about this, with this person, he was saying, so how much do I repent? How much do I keep on repenting? And here's the point, as we were talking, I said, listen, it is not in repenting many, many sins. It is repenting as you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. As you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, he shows you what you need to repent, and you offer yourself to God. You surrender to the Holy Spirit, and he keeps on showing you more and more. You can only offer yourself to the Holy Spirit, to God through the Holy Spirit. And the Lord will be glorified. And he will manifest his glory in you and in me.